Hello to everyone joining us. It's really good that you've logged on YouTube, on Facebook, in whatever means that you're joining us. It's really right that you're here joining this service with London Road Baptist Church. We don't really believe in coincidences, so if you're here, I totally believe it's because God has something that he really wants to say to you. You might have just found us by accident, you might have logged on intentionally, whatever your reason is, we know that God has something he wants to say to you this morning. My name's Esther, I'm part of the leadership team here. I'm a minister in training and I head up the town centre chaplaincy team in Lowestoft. I'm going to be taking the service this morning and we're continuing with our theme of encounters with Jesus. And my prayer is that you will have an encounter with Jesus this morning, that this won't just be something you do or listen to or watch, but that you meet with the living Jesus this morning. If you are new to church and especially London Road Baptist Church, we would just want to say check out our Facebook page, London Road Baptist, and check out our website, and you can email the office to get in touch with someone if you'd like to meet with somebody. We are just a really lovely family of people who are exploring faith in Jesus and trying to work out what that means for how we live and what we do. And if you would like to explore with us, we would so love to get to know you. So, in this second lockdown, what are we now? 2 weeks in this crazy season of life. We, as people that follow Jesus, we don't believe in a God who cannot cope with what's going on at the minute, a God who is shut off, but we believe in one who keeps speaking to us and who always wants to be close to us. And so that's why we are doing this service this morning, because we want to give time to hear God speak. And just as an introduction, I want to read you some words from an amazing book by Henri Nouwen, Following Jesus. Great book, I recommend it to everybody. This is what he says about hearing the voice of God, and I just invite you to let these words sink in. He says, there's something of the wanderer and something of the person who just sits there in all of us. If you look at the world at the minute, you might think, I'm too tired. There's so much fatigue, so much experience of heaviness in this world that I find myself sometimes as a wanderer and sometimes as a sitter. In this deeply tired world of ours, it is that God sends Jesus to speak the voice of love. Jesus says, follow me. Don't keep running around. Follow me. Don't just sit there. Follow me. And once we hear the voice calling us to follow, things often fall into place. Instead of moving in many different directions, suddenly we have focus. We know where we're going. We have only one concern. Suddenly that deep boredom we experienced vanishes because we have heard the voice of love. The voice is not a voice that will force itself upon us. It is a voice of love. And love doesn't push or pull. Love is very sensitive. It can be very quiet. It's sometimes really hard to hear. But the voice of love is already in you. You may have already heard it. So together this morning, we're going to start trying to hear that voice. So I just invite you to get quiet. And we're just going to spend some time this morning trying to hear that voice. I'm just going to pray, which is just talking to God, nothing special. Just, although it is something special because it's connecting with the Creator. So I invite you to close your eyes, just be quiet, whatever you want to do to concentrate. We just say to you, Creator God, it's amazing that we can address you and speak to you. Risen Jesus, we want to hear your voice. Spirit of God, we want to hear your promptings. We know that you want to speak to us today. We know that you're always speaking, you're always acting, you're always loving us, but you don't force it upon us. And so we want to open ourselves up to you this morning, or whatever time of day it is that we're watching this, and say, we're not sure about everything, but if you're there, we want to hear from you. Please speak to us. Amen. So we're going to start the service with a song, but this isn't just a song. It's not, oh, now we're going to listen to a song. This is a time where we're going to center ourselves, you know, where we're going to reflect, where we're going to give over to God, where we are at the minute, who we are, where we're going to worship, which just means giving back to God what he is due. And we're going to use the song just to enter into his presence. So it's going to play now, and you may know it, you may not, that's not really relevant. What it's for, it's a place for you to sit and absorb what it is that God is saying to you, sense his presence through it, and give something back to him in your response.
Yeah. sing it out.
Here I stand, I surrender. I need you now. Hold my heart now forever. My soul cries out. Here I stand, I surrender. I need you now. Hold my heart now and forever. My soul cries.
So let's pray, shall we? We just think of the words of that song, and for some of us that's truth, and for some of us listening, that's maybe something we haven't heard or experienced before, but we just want to thank you for your grace, for your love for us, creator of everything, that in so many ways we don't deserve, we don't acknowledge, we don't see, but thank you that your grace holds us. Thank you that when we connect our lives with yours and are led by you and filled with you, that you take what is broken and you fix it. Thank you that you're fixing us. Thank you that you are working in this world. Thank you that even during COVID-19, you are working. You haven't forgotten us. You haven't abdicated responsibility, but you are still active and you are loving us and you are using us to further your kingdom. We just sit in a sense before you and acknowledge that you are really great and we're not in so many ways. We're sorry. We get it wrong so often. We do it on purpose. We do it by mistake. We don't even know we've done it. But we just ask that your presence would fill us. Forgive us. Let us know that you don't hold it over us, but that your grace sets us free. Speak to us this morning, lead us forward, help us to be people that shed light from your kingdom whilst COVID is rampaging around this world and around our town and our country. Let us be beacons of light and love for you. Amen. So, speaking of the effect that COVID is having, this morning I wanted to invite a member of our family here at London Road who's still active on the front lines while we're in this lockdown. And so to represent teachers, primary school, middle school, university, college, nursery, preschool, everybody who's still working, I've invited Gail to come and talk to us about just how it is being a teacher at the moment and how we can pray for teachers and children. And then she's going to lead us in prayer as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. It is really, really tough at the moment, and I'm coming to you straight from work this evening after another busy day. I'm probably a good representative of the teaching profession at the moment. I'm tired, I don't have any makeup on, my roots need doing, and everybody's absolutely exhausted. It's really, really difficult because it's difficult to explain to people who aren't aware of what's going on in the schools just how difficult it is and how much of a change it has been since February. We've gone through lots and lots of different models of school since February. We've all been working from home. We've planned from home and taught from home. We taught very small classes of 6 or 7 children so that parents could go to work. We then had the summer holiday, and then we returned and we've got full classes of children that we are desperately trying to keep safe. I have an ordinary sized classroom and 37 children who I can't socially distance. It's physically impossible. They're 9. They don't love sanitizing their hands. They don't love keeping apart from each other. They don't love not getting a hug. I have to be honest, I do that. And it is really, really tough. Loads of schools will have lots of people off for extended periods of time. My particular school is missing about 12 members of staff these last 2 weeks, and it has been a noticeable difference. At any one time, any one of our children could disappear for 2 weeks to isolate, and then we're sending work home for them, which by definition can't be the work that they do in the classroom. I've got children who are very vulnerable children who aren't at school at all because of the risk to their health. We have members of staff who would be in the vulnerable category in any other profession that are at school, risking their health. You know, we all joke at lunchtime, you know, oh, wouldn't it be great if one of our kids, you know, tested positive and actually weren't really ill, and then we all get 2 weeks off. It's just horrendous to think that we can't teach our children and be where we want to be in a classroom, safe, looking after these children, and still being expected to teach the children what they need to teach. It's next to impossible. So we prioritise their health, we prioritise their safety, we prioritise their mental health. And if that means 1 week they don't learn the fractions they should learn, well, they'll catch it up. A lot of our children are scared. A lot of our children are vulnerable emotionally, physically. You know, a lot of the schools in Lowestoft have a high incident of, you know, families where they're not coping in the in lockdown, they're not coping in COVID pandemic generally. And hopefully we can do our bit to, you know, pick up and support their children. I don't want to sound as though, you know, oh, it's really, really terrible. But actually it is. So I think, you know, sometimes it's fair to say, actually, we're having a really, really terrible time, and it's really, really difficult, and we need some help, we need some support, and we need people to pray for us, which is what I'm going to do now. So, Father God, I lift to you every single person that I know that works in schools and in the educational environment. It's mad time at the minute. It's nothing like any of us have ever experienced before. It's tough physically, it's tough mentally, it's tough emotionally. We can't be as there for our children as we want to. And obviously then we've got guilt, and we're trying to keep ourselves healthy. Every time somebody coughs, the children are like, ah! So Lord, we just ask for peace. We ask for calm. We ask for strength for anybody in a school situation that needs it. We pray, Lord, for the headmistresses and headmasters that are having to make these monumental decisions every day, and that are working all hours to keep staff and children safe. We pray, Lord, that whatever decisions the government makes regarding education, regarding opening schools, closing schools, how to do schools, especially coming up to Christmas, Lord, we pray that the right decisions would be made for the children first, and that support and resources be given to the adults so they can offer that best support to the children. So, Lord, we lift this whole situation to you, all of our schools, all of our amazing children who are being so resilient during this time. And we thank you, Lord, that you are there for us to turn to when the day has just been that little bit too long and the children have been a little bit too noisy and there's a little bit too much work to take home. So we thank you, Lord, for being with us in all that we do every day. Amen.
Big thanks to Gail for just being really honest about how it is. Because one of the things I love about prayer is that prayer isn't fake. Prayer is saying it as it is to God. And I love that that's what Gail has just done. What I want to say is, as a church based in Lowestoft, we are looking after so many children and families and young people. And this week we are finishing preparing hundreds of Advent bags that we're sending out to all the families we have contact with, all the young people we have contact with. And we're going to be giving them out when lockdown finishes, out in the town, to local businesses, because we want to help people journey through Advent. The packs are going to have meditations in them, food, gifts, crafts, all different things too, just to let people know that we love them, that God hasn't forgotten them, and to help them process how they're feeling and what on earth Christmas and Advent has got to do with any of it. So we have an amazing team here. Our community team is looking at making Christmas dinners that will be delivered out over December. Our chaplaincy team is supporting independent businesses, dropping in gifts, and as I say, our youth and children's team is making these bags and just keeping in contact with so many people, because that's how God works. He chooses to work through us, and there's so much that we're doing as a family here for the town that God has inspired us to do. So just before we explore an encounter with Jesus, we're going to watch just a clip just to make you think. It's called Jesus or the Virus. Like, where's your mind at the minute? Jesus or the virus? As you watch it, just have a think, let it soak in and ponder.
Jesus or a virus? Who will receive your focus? The one who heals or the one who hurts? The one who steals or the one who saves? The one who gives or the one who takes? Who has your attention? What you think about controls what you speak out. And what you dwell on is what you feast on. What you feast on is what you become. So who will it be, church? Fear is not an option in the kingdom. Worry is not heaven's wisdom. And doubts teach pathetic lessons. Will you listen to them? Jesus or a virus? Will potential harm be all that you see? Or will you fall on your knees as you seize the authority and reject the enemy's schemes? Faith or fear? Both are contagious. Both are infectious. Faith is the currency of the victorious. Fear, the enemy's weak response. So church, make your choice. Jesus or a virus? Only one of them deserves your focus. Only one of them is worthy of praises. Only one of them gets to be made famous. Which one will you be remembered for talking about? The virus that could bring discomfort or inconvenience? Or Jesus who rules the galaxies in his preeminence? The sickness that could take the life that was given to you? Or the righteous king who promises to make all things new? Jesus or a virus? Love or fear? Peace or worry? Joy or anxiety? It's actually easy to start looking at the one who is mighty. He is clothed in majesty. He is enthroned for eternity. My king alone is worthy. The sun and the moon, they know he's coming soon. Nothing can stop his kingdom from spreading. It's more contagious than this virus. It's more potent than all of Satan's distractions. And of its increase, there will be no end. Oh, heaven is invading earth, no matter what the news says. Friends, we get to ride in the army of white and disperse all of hell's great might with a single flicker of light. I will use every opportunity to bring glory and praise to Jesus' name. Nothing will distract me from my call. Nothing can separate me from all that Jesus has bought for me. Today, we can make a choice to focus on Him more than anything else. He is bigger, He is doing more, and He will never be stopped. The current events at our fingertips might seem scary and expect us to be nervous, but they cannot compare to the beauty of Jesus. I've made up my mind. Don't waste a second of your time. Turn your eyes upwards and see the kingdom go forwards. In the midst of what looks like chaos, Jesus is still being made famous.
Okay, I hope that just made you think where your mind's at this moment, where it needs to be, just give you a chance to ponder. So I'm going to now just do a few minutes having a chat with you really about an encounter with Jesus. We've been doing this series on encounters with Jesus that our minister Neil has been leading us through. And I think at this time with COVID and just with life, you know, it's really important to think about encountering the divine. Like, is this all there is? Is there more? Just to hear stories of people that have encountered Jesus and the difference that that made, and allow that to make us think about what difference is it making to us? Am I encountering Jesus? Do I want to? Do I know what that means? And just to explore it. So we're going to have a story today from the Gospel of John. Basically, that means it is the good news about Jesus, written by a bloke called John, who was there with Jesus and was a mate of his, and has written down his account of what happened. So if you have a Bible, we're going to be going today from the New Living Translation. If you need to look it up on an app or Google it at it's John chapter 6, verses 1 to 11 in the New Living Translation. That's where we're at this morning. So I'm going to read it and we're just going to have a chat as we go through it and see what God has to say to us. I know He has stuff to say this morning, so let's be open to hear His word. Okay, so we start at the beginning of chapter 6. It says, after this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he had healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. Now, I just want to pause there because it starts with this phrase, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. Like, who cares, really? Like, what was he doing? He was just moving from one region of people to another. He'd been to this area of Galilee before. In fact, this is where a load of his disciples were from, and he's heading back there. But it was just the phrase hit me that he crossed over to the far side. It was a bit like he crossed over to the dark side, but not the dark side, to the far side. He crossed over to the far side. And I just thought, do you know what? At the moment, I feel like that's how it feels, you know, like we've crossed over to the far side. In some way, we've crossed into unknown territory, you know. A year ago, we wouldn't have dreamed that we would have a virus attacking our planet. We wouldn't have dreamed we'd be in a second lockdown. We wouldn't have dreamed that thousands of people would be on furlough, that people would have lost their jobs, that businesses would be closed, that children would be being taught in bubbles at school, that teachers would be having to deal with what they're dealing with, that mental health problems would be skyrocketing. We've moved to the other side, haven't we? It's like we've gone to the far side. For some of us, it might feel like we've gone backwards even, like Jesus had come from Galilee and he's moved to Judea and now he's heading back again. He's going back somewhere he's been before. Like, do any of you just feel like this is just a time where you're going backwards? Like, where am I going? I feel like I'm stuck. I feel like I'm in this place that I don't want to be in, this unknown place, this far side, this new territory. Like, it is new, all of this, for us, isn't it? Like, I think when we pretend that it's all okay, actually we forget the truth, like Gail was saying, that this is new territory, this is hard stuff. I didn't realise quite how affected I was by all of this until the other week when there was a news bulletin that said there might be a vaccine, and I literally nearly cried with relief in the kitchen. And I didn't realise that I was that tense about it, but I realised I've been like holding my breath because I don't want to be in this place, I want to be somewhere else. But do you know what? Jesus crossed over to the far side. He crossed into that other place. He made that journey, and he did it on purpose. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't, oh no, where are we going on this lake? It was, we are going to the far side. And what I think this tells us is that even in this COVID situation, even when we don't know if lockdown's going to end in December, even where we feel we're going backwards, even where we don't know how it's going to be, Jesus crosses into that place with us. He does it on purpose. He's already there. We're not on our own in it, you know? We can feel like we are. We can feel like this is a really strange place, but this tells us that Jesus crossed on purpose the river to the other side. He crossed into that unknown place and he meets us there. And in fact, as we read the story, we're going to find that he does something amazing there. Like, do you think that in this situation, in lockdown again, just before Christmas, with all of the pressures, do you think that God can do something amazing where you are? Do you have that expectation that he will? Or have you just lost it? Do you just think, do you know what? I'm in a nowhere place. I don't know. Because this story says Jesus wants to do something amazing in this other side place, in this new place, in this backward place. So that's the first thing I wanted to say. Like, what is that place for you? What is that nowhere place? What does it look like? What's your other side? Like, what is your new, or what is your going backwards? What situation does COVID put you in? Because Jesus intentionally crosses into that place with you, and he is even there before you get there, and he knows what he wants to do with it. He doesn't leave you on your own. He works in those nowhere places. It's like if you read some of the Old Testament stories, so much happens in what they call the wilderness. It's not really a word that we use unless it's like Bear Grylls in the wilderness, or like I'm a celebrity, like stuck in the castle, or whatever it is, trying to get out of viper pits, which was really scary to watch. But the Bible has story after story after story of nowhere places, of God leading the Israelites through the desert, of them seeing miracles, of fire guiding them at night, of them getting food every day. You know, it's like he parted waters so that they could cross in the wilderness. And he drowned their enemies in the wilderness. Like, if you've got enemies coming at you at the minute, because God is with you and he is bigger than they are. Like, my God's bigger than your God. Like, he wants to beat them. Like Isaiah says, do you know what? I'm making streams in the wilderness. Like, I'm going to bring life. That's what he says God is doing. So in this place, where you just think, I don't think I can take much more of lockdown. I've lost my job. What about my house? What about my health? What about that family member I can't see? It's this place that Jesus crosses to be with you, and this is where he will do his miracle with you. Okay, so let's move on. It says, so I've read that huge crowds kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous sign. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. And it struck me that Jesus maybe had something that he wanted to do here. Like, he sits down with his disciples. Like, he's probably got a bit of a plan. Like, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to teach these guys. Like, we're going to have a moment. Maybe we're going to have a rest. It's been really busy. We're going to sit here. But these people are coming. And the thing that struck me was about interruptions. Like, Jesus is totally going to be interrupted here. He's got his core group around him. He wants to teach them and develop them, but there's all these people coming. And I just wonder whether we feel like we're people that are interrupted a lot. Like, you have a plan, you know what you want to do with your day, it doesn't quite go how you want it to go, something comes up, something happens. Now, Jesus has the energy to deal with this interruption. In fact, it's what he is there for, and it's how he shows his power, and he uses it as an opportunity. He was open to the interruptions. Somebody on my course a few years ago said, be aware of the interruptions. Stop asking me, God, what do you want me to do today? And ask that, but then look to see what interrupts your schedule. And I thought that was really interesting because I'm someone who plans my day. I sort of know what's going to happen and I have energy for that. And then I don't have energy for anything else. Like if I pick my kids up from school and my daughter wants me to play, like dress up and run around the house with Nerf guns, unless I've mentally prepared for that, I just don't have the energy for that particular interruption. But this story says that interruptions are part of God's plan. Like, we don't really believe in accidents, do we? Like, what interruptions are happening in your life at the minute? What is getting in the way that you want to get rid of, but actually God is going to use, because he's the God of interruptions and the God that uses every opportunity to show who he is. Like, Neil's talked over the past few weeks about all these people that had encounters with Jesus. Most of them were just full-on interruptions into Jesus's schedule. He's heading somewhere and Zacchaeus is up a tree. Like, he's in a crowd going to heal someone else and a woman touches his robe and she's healed and he stops to talk to her. Like, he's having dinner with some people and a woman bursts in and cries and pours oil on his feet. He doesn't tell all these people to get lost. He takes the time, he notices them. As Neil has said so often, he notices them and he embraces that interruption. And I guess I wanted to say to us today, embrace the interruptions in your schedule. Like, Jesus embraces this interruption of this massive crowd of people and he does something amazing, which we're going to get to. What interruptions is he putting in your path at the minute that he doesn't want you to brush aside, but he wants you to take the time for? Like, not everything, obviously. You can't be everything to everybody, but he works in those moments. Okay, let's move on. So the huge crowd has turned up. Turning to Philip, one of his closest mates, Jesus says to him, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Like, I think that's really harsh. Like, poor Philip, like, he's asked this question and he obviously doesn't know the answer to it, but Jesus asks him it anyway. And I was like, is Jesus just being obnoxious, or like, what's he up to? Do you ever think that sometimes you just want the answers to things? Like, I'm generally just quite lazy. I just want to know what the answer is and what to do. I don't really want to have to think about it. But I don't think that's the way that God works. I think he's really interested in what is going on in your situation. How is it for you at the minute with COVID? What can you do? What is going on? He asks us questions. He doesn't just let us be lazy. Sometimes I think he just wants to provoke us. Like, at this point, I can imagine Jesus sort of smirking. He already knows what he's going to do. Philip's getting in a stew about it. He doesn't know the answer. But Jesus knows the answer. And so I think that he often is asking us questions. You know, that place where you're a little bit uncomfortable, where you don't quite know, you've got that sort of mental itch. Is that Jesus asking you a question? What is he asking you at the moment? What is he provoking you about? What is he going, so is life comfortable like this? So this is all right, is it? So how do we feel about that? So what should we be doing now? So are you talking to me much at the minute? He has these questions for us. And I think he sort of smiles and goes, come on, what's going on? He provokes us. He's that question in our ear. So what does Philip say in response to this question? Philip goes into a complete panic. Philip says, even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them. You could just hear it. He's like, what are you talking about? There's nothing I can do about this. I cannot fix this situation. I can't feed all these people. I don't have any money. What's going on? It's like, I can't do anything about COVID. I can't do anything about this relationship problem. I can't do anything about this issue in my town or in my life. Or how do I sort out this problem with my children or this problem with myself? Sometimes it just all seems too big, doesn't it? And we answer God in a like, in our panic. We answer out of fear. We answer out of doubt and insecurity. I think that's because we think it's about us. You know, like Philip sort of missed the point, hasn't he? It's like when God asks me questions, like I've really felt like over this time, what should I be doing as just a person who loves Jesus? How can I love people in this season? I've got myself in a bit of a state about, you know, how should I do it? What can I do? How can I even manage my children's mental health or my family relationships? How do we look after everybody? And it's like I'm answering out of my strength. I'm answering out of my resources. I'm answering out of my preoccupations when actually it's not about me. It's not about me. And we see that in this story. So what happens is, Philip's in a stew. He doesn't know what to do. That rhymes. He has no idea how to fix this. We get that, don't we? Can't fix it. How do we fix it? It's too much. And then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, speaks up. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. You can just imagine everybody rolling their eyes like, and? Like, what are you talking about? And then he even like doubts himself and he says, but what good is that with this huge crowd? Like, I think sometimes we look at ourselves and the gifts that we have and the person that we are and the skills that God has given us, the abilities he's given us. And when he says to us, what are you going to do? We go into a complete blind panic. Well, I can't do anything because of this and this and this and this. Or we do what Andrew did. And we go, well, I have this, but that's a bit rubbish. I forget about it. You can't do anything with that. And we fear that the little we have won't be enough to fix the problem. We just look at ourselves through a lens that says we're rubbish, don't we? Like, what good is my skill? What good is what I can offer? I can't do anything with it. But this is what Jesus says. He says, tell everyone to sit down, practical. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered 5,000. So, you know, then there's the women, then there's the kids. Then Jesus took the loaves and he gave thanks to God and he distributed them to the people. I love that. Like, the Bible doesn't, like, have exclamation marks or anything. It's just like, yeah, he took the loaves and the fish. He distributed them to the, what, 10,000 plus people that may have been there. And afterwards, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. The thing that struck me with this is that the little that there was given to Jesus, and he gave thanks to God for it, and then it was enough. And I think what he's saying to us is we are in lockdown. We cannot ourselves fix COVID-19. We cannot ourselves fix everything. If we think we can, we're going to get in a right state about it. If we think we can do it on our own, we're going to lose it. But if we give it to Jesus, just who we are, the gifts that we have, the skills that we have, if we give them to him, and give thanks to God for what they are, then he can do something amazing with them. You may look at yourself through your perspective and think that you're rubbish, that you have nothing to offer, that your skills are pointless. You're not spiritual enough. You don't pray enough. You're not even convinced about Jesus. What can you do? Jesus says, here, give it to me, because I will change your perspective on who you are and what can be done with who you are, and then I'm going to use you to do what I want to do. Like to Philip, like, where can we buy bread for all of these people? What question is it that Jesus is asking you? And when your response is, I can't do anything because, it's like, hang on, give who you are to Jesus, give what you have to Jesus, because he will change your perspective. It's like giving thanks to God. It's like going, God, show me it in the right way. Thank you for who I am. Thank you for the gifts that I have. Thank you for what I can do. Thank you for my ability to do this, my insight with this, this gift that you're growing in me. Thank you that I'm a good cook, this is not me, and that I could give food to someone. Thank you that I have this skill that I could use. Thank you that I like to talk so I can ring people who need it. What is it that you can give to God in this season? It's only small, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. It's not much. It's not going to do anything really. But then it's given to Jesus, and then it is. And remember, this is in that nowhere place. This is in that I have gone back. This is in that I don't know where I am anymore. This is in that different place than you want to be. But when you give it to Jesus, he will take it. So the last thing in this story is the Bible almost like very factually describes this miracle. So they gave thanks to God and they distributed the food to the people and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled the baskets. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, "Surely he is the prophet we have been expecting." See, when we let Jesus take what we have, giving thanks to God, we'll see things from a different perspective, and what we have will be multiplied beyond what we can imagine, and it will be there again for us to use later. There was all of these leftovers. Do you think God's only going to use it once? Because he uses it more and more and more, and it leaves more for the people who benefited. Like, they passed the bread on, didn't they? Like, they could have not done that. They could have not believed, but they passed it on. When you bless somebody, they're going to tell somebody. They're going to pass it on. When you bake that cake for them, put that note through the door, offer to pray for that person, you're going to bless them and they're going to pass it on. The miracle that is going to happen in this COVID season is going to be when we take what we have and we give it to Jesus and are just prepared for him to use it. That's our miracle. And we are a people that believe in miracles. So it's a bit old fashioned to do that. But you don't see miracles every day, obviously, because they're a miracle. They're something supernatural that happens supernaturally sometimes, but with Jesus, when you take what you have, you see the miracle of that happen. So I suppose my question for you is do you want to see a miracle at the minute? Are you just happy sitting, doing what you do, getting on with life? Or do you want to take this nowhere place, this COVID place, this rocky relationship place, this I don't know how to pray place, this I've even forgotten how to use the skills that I have place? Do you want to give it to Jesus and just let him take it, give thanks for it, and see what miracle he has to do? Because he has a miracle to do. We believe in a God that can change you, that can change your family, that can change situations, that can bring peace and hope to those who encounter him. Like Jesus met their needs here. It was a miracle. With people who didn't know that that was what was going to happen. With people who just had nothing, really. Just a few scraps of bread and a couple of fish. But in that nowhere place, he did a miracle. And that's what we want to see. So as we close that thought, my question I want to say to you, and I think is the question that Jesus has for us, is what miracle do you want to see? Like, yes, you're in this place, and it might be really hard for you at the minute. It's really hard for us all in so many different ways. What questions is God asking you? What question is he asking you? He already knows the answer. He went before you. He's met you there. He knows. He's asking you, what can you do? What is the question he's asking you? How are you going to answer? What are you going to give to him? Maybe it needs to be that you've lost it over the past few months. You've lost your walk with him. You've lost your contact. You haven't engaged with services. You haven't contacted your house group. You just feel alone. Maybe you need to start with that. Just give it over. Maybe you need to start with your skills. What is it you want to give him? But he wants to do a miracle where you are. He wants to take what you give him and do something amazing with it. So I'm just going to pray. Okay. Father God, just before you, we say some of us are in a wilderness, some of us are in a nowhere place. Like, we don't know how we got here. We don't even know if we meant to be here. We struggle with what is going on at the minute. It's been really hard, and it keeps being really hard. And some of us, we've gone backwards to places we've been before that we didn't want to go back to, but that's where we are. But we thank you, and we just want to proclaim and remind ourselves that you already went before us, that you meet us in our nowhere place. You are already there. And you come to us and you say, I'm here. What should we do? What should we do? And you invite us into that conversation. You invite us to respond, and you invite us to give you just again ourselves, our gifts, our passions, our hurts, everything that we are. You just, even when we feel small, when we feel that we're rubbish, when we're not everything we should be, when we have all these labels for all of our dysfunction, you don't see that. You say, give it to me, and I'm going to take it and make it into something amazing. So God, we just before you say, take us afresh. We want to see your miracle in this season. And so we just speak miracles into our own lives. We just speak your power and your healing to those that need it, that are listening now. If you're listening and you are in pain, in your emotions, we just speak God's presence to you now. We speak his love and his healing to you, because he is here for you. If you are confused and don't know where you are, he says, I am the way and the life, and I will show you. If we've lost our belief in miracles, we just come back to this story and say, do you know what? It only takes a mustard seed sized amount of faith to move mountains. And we just give you that small seed that we have and say, do miracles in our lives, because you are the God of miracles. And we want to remind ourselves of that in this place that we're in. And if you're listening to this and you have never heard about Jesus before, or you're thinking, I'd like this Jesus in my life, I'd like to know more, I'm just going to say a prayer for you. And if you want to echo it, because this Jesus is the one that promises change, that meets us in the place that we're in, that takes us, even with our interruptions, that heals us and talks to us. So I'm just going to say, echo this. Jesus, I really haven't known much about you. I don't know much about you now, but I'm captivated by who I think you might be. And I don't want to live my life by my own messed up rules any longer. I want to be led. I want to know what the way is. I want to know the best way to live, that I can make a difference in this world, but I can be different in myself. I ask that you would free me from my past, forgive me for my screw-ups, and take my hand and lead me forward now. I want to start a journey with you. I don't know much, but I know enough to know that's what I want. Amen. If you echoed that prayer, do let us know. We'd love to start a journey with you. Send us an email, check us out on our website, Facebook page. We would love to journey with you on that. We're going to finish our service this morning with a song. And again, it's not just a song. It's a time to stand and say what the miracle is that we need at the minute. It's called I Speak the Name of Jesus. And it talks about speaking the power of Jesus into the situations we're in, into our difficulties, our families, our problems. And so we're going to leave you with this. And what I invite you to do is to stand while it's playing. You obviously don't have to. But if we want to declare something, then let's stand and do it as people that say we believe it. And this Jesus that turned 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish into enough to feed thousands of people, His name is powerful. His name is the one who heals and gives life. And so we want to speak the name of Jesus as we close over our town, over ourselves, and over everybody that we love. And if you want to know more about us, please check us out. We'd love to meet you, but our hope and our prayer is that you have encountered Jesus this morning.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus, 'cause your name is power, your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Over every heart and every mind,
'Cause I know there is peace within His presence. I speak Jesus.